And welcome back in hour number three of Morning Drive on this Friday, ESPN 102.5 The Game, as we begin our spring previews, scanning the SEC spring games. And we started off with the defending national champions, the Alabama Crimson Tide. And joining us is the voice of Alabama football, the great Eli Gold. Eli, good morning. How are you?
I am well, and thanks for having me on. I always laugh in a nice way. If I were Nick Saban and you had just introduced me as you did, he would have jumped all over you because you talked about the defending national champions. And he will quickly point out that this is not the defending national championship team. That defending team no longer exists.
Exactly.
It's in the NFL. It will be. It's in the CFL. It's in the Arena League. It's selling pharmaceuticals, whatever it's doing. He'll say this is the reigning national championship organization,
but
there is no defending team. That team has already broken up and gone to the wind.
But Eli, he was smiling when he went to center the middle of the football field to select and grab the trophy. He actually was smiling this time.
He was. That was a remarkable night. You know, I think it took even and all of us, those of us in the booth, even Coach Saban. It almost took like a double take to realize exactly what had happened. To go from the highest, from the lowest of lows, taking that sack and looking at a second down and 26, to bang, you win another national championship. It was like, wait a second, what just happened? It was remarkable, and you're right. The man was smiling more broadly. Smiling for longer periods of time and had a look of amazement on his face that I don't think any of us had seen. Maybe you had, but I certainly hadn't.
Eli, let me get your thoughts on the biggest story coming out of camp right now. And you talk about the lowest of the lows and the highest of the highs. One of those guys that really flipped that game around was the quarterback, Tua. So he's got the broken index finger on his throwing hand. I was reading this morning that it's going to require surgery. How does that affect the quarterback position between him and Jalen going into spring camp?
Well, I don't know. You know, both men are very, very good. Both men are going to play come next season, I would assume. So, you know, the fact is he was out on the practice field not doing all the normal drills. You know, they were testing his ability to kind of grip the football yesterday. At one point, according to a report I read, he went over towards where Jalen was standing and they high-fived, although Tua used his right hand. The uninjured hand to do the high fiving, but you know it's not a huge story. I mean, everybody knows that both men can play, and this is after all March. It is not this is not 3 weeks before the Louisville game, getting ready in Orlando to open up next season. So you know it's a bump in the road certainly. But Alabama is a school, it's a team, used to so many bumps in the road. Look at last year, losing virtually every linebacker that the team had at one time or another. So, you know, nobody's jumping off any roofs here. You'd rather it not happen, certainly. But, you know, it's just one of those things that happens in football.
Eli, you and I talked last summer, and I said, "Hey, give me some. Where's the area of concern or the weakness?" And you basically were like, "Well, they got to replace their long snapper. They obviously are going to be the clear-cut favorite this year in the SEC West. They're probably going to be number one in the nation in the preseason. They're loaded on at every position. They need some secondary guys to step up. Where is the concern? If you're an Alabama fan, where is the concern on this roster?"
I think the curiosity. And I do remember that conversation, so I won't say concern. I think the curiosity will probably be to some degree at the offensive line spot. You know, you've got Jonah Williams, who has played left side, right side. He is back. You've got Josh Kasher, who was, you know, not a starter, but he is there. Ross Pierce-Baker will likely, I'm guessing, again, here we sit and there is no depth chart, but Pierce-Baker is a returnee who has played at center. You've got Lester Cotton probably at the right guard spot. And then you're going to have to insert probably a Jedrick Wills or somebody like that at right tackle. Then you have the options of the kid Alex Leatherwood, who played very well down the stretch last season. He played left tackle. You've got Elliot Baker, a young man that many of your listeners may or may not be familiar with. He is going to be likely available to be inserted somewhere. So it's going to be a different look to the offensive line. That doesn't necessarily, again, make it a concern. It makes it a curiosity at this time of the season, at this time of the year.
Eli, let me get your thoughts on the receiver position. Calvin Ridley always draws comparisons to Amari Cooper and Julio Jones as being that real standout star receiver. He is gone, and now you've got a young, talented group of guys that are at the position. Is it reminiscent of 2011 where when Julio Jones left, you had Marquise Mays and Darius Hanks? Or do you think Ruggs and Judy, one of these guys, will break out to be the next great receiver?
I believe one of them will, personally. I don't know which one. You know, Jerry Judy last year was thrown to some, not an excessive amount, but he made some catches last year that just, I mean, it had me going through my mental thesaurus trying to come up with adjectives as I was doing the play-by-play. It was the guy, he reminded me of Amari Cooper in the ability to catch virtually anything in his area code. So he's very good. Ruggs is outstanding. This is as talented the last couple of years, this season upcoming included, one of the most talented groups top to bottom of wide receivers. Is there going to be right at the top of the year a guy that everybody points to and says, man, that's Julio, you got to watch him on every play? Who knows? But by the time they get out of college, on this group, there's going to be a guy or two who are going to be first-round draft picks, and I guess that's probably the best barometer you can use at this stage of their careers.
Aside from you, Eli, the second best person in front of an open microphone is Lane Kiffin, and Lane Kiffin says that he thinks Nick Saban could coach 10 more years in the SEC. He takes care of himself. He's, you know, on the Tom Brady diet or whatever, minus some oatmeal cream pies. What, you know, over under 7.5 years, 6.5 years? I mean, give me your over under on number of years.
I wouldn't be so presumptuous as to say that. I like my job too much. I would not go on the record with, I will tell you this. We have talked some. We don't talk extensively. You know, I have found over the year, we have a great relationship, the coach and I, a very good business relationship, and he will answer all of my questions. But we don't sit around and shoot the breeze, okay? It's not that kind of a relationship. He knows, and I know, that him spending time talking to old Eli is not going to help Alabama win football games. So we don't sit around, shoot the breeze, you know, tell jokes and recap whatever the heck, and talk about Lou Saban when he coached the Boston Patriots and the Denver Broncos. I mean, we don't sit around like that. But knowing what I do, the man loves still. He still has that drive. He still loves what he does. He looks forward to getting up every day and going to work. Yes, he enjoys his daily Little Debbie snack cakes, but he also enjoys his everyday basketball games, and he also enjoys keeping himself in shape, and he loves taking young men and developing them into better people, better players. That's why he thrives on the college game, which is that element he didn't have in the pros. In the college game, you can mold that piece of clay and make it, you know, a better person, a better player, and so on. So he has shown, and I have seen no indication whatsoever that he has any thoughts anywhere of stepping down at all. That seems, in my mind, to be a long way off.
Eli, we got about 60 seconds left. I know you did one season as the radio voice of the Nashville Predators. Some people might not remember that, but it was 2006.
And I loved it. Oh, it was one of the greatest years of my life.
So let me get you, before we get you out of here, let's get a prediction. They're the best team in the NHL. Do you think the Nashville Predators will hoist Lord Stanley's Cup?
Well, they came so close last year. I don't see why they can't be better than an odds-on favorite. They do have to tighten things up a little bit. Some of the games that they have been winning here lately or getting points lately, they have managed to find a way to win, which is good. That's what great teams do. That isn't necessarily playoff hockey, however. And I think, you know, they've got to try and tighten things up down the stretch, but I am a firm believer in that roster. I love what David Poile has put together over the years. Other than the fact that the man's a dear friend, I just have been so much of a believer in him. So I don't see why they certainly won't be battling in the finals. Do they hoist it? Who the heck knows? It's like people saying to me, so you got room for next year's Bama National Championship ring? Well, you never think like that. You can't presume that. But they'll be in there battling. The Predators are a great, great club, a great hockey club, and a great organization.
Eli, good stuff. Enjoy the A-Day game, and we hope to touch base with you before the season starts. Thank you very much.
Call me anytime. See you guys. Take care.
Got it. Thanks, Eli.
Eli
Gold joining us, the voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide.
And never wears a hat backwards.
No, does not. You know, he also, I believe he does some NASCAR as well, right? A little bit from time to time.
Perhaps.
He's done everything.
He dabbles.
Yeah,
he dabbles. He also sits on a beach and rides on his boat a lot, too.
Good set of pipes there, Eli Gold.
Yes, he does.
Coming up next, we've got some really, really bad news for SEC football fans. Stay there.